Here's what we're going to get to this morning. We're going to get to the first invitation that we find in the New Testament of our Bible. So we're studying through these invitations that God has given to us in Scripture, places where He invites us to come. And this is the first one that we find recorded for us in the Scripture in the New Testament of our Bible. And I hope it'll be an encouragement as we look at Matthew chapter number 11 this morning. And we're going to begin reading at the very end of the chapter. And so if you've located Matthew 11, if you can look down to the end of the chapter, and we're going to look at verse number 28. This is an invitation that God gives to us here in Matthew chapter number 11. And remember we said this about the invitations in Scripture. Remember our invitations that we're preaching about this year go with our theme. Our theme this year, come and see, an invitation that God gives to us to come and see. And then invitations that we have found throughout the Scripture. We started at the beginning of our Bible. We talked about the first invitation when Noah invited, God invited through Noah people to come into the ark. A picture of coming into Christ for salvation. And the security that you have when you've put your faith and trust in the Lord, just like the security of those that were in the ark. And then we've journeyed through the Old Testament and found several places in which there were invitations. And now we move to the first invitation that's mentioned in the New Testament of our Bible. And remember what we've said about these. The greatest kind of invitations we can ever receive are the ones that we receive from the Lord. And again, we might be invited to things throughout our time here on earth, different parties or maybe celebrations that folks will have, but you'll never have an invitation like the ones that are that come from God, that come from the Lord. And so these are the greatest invitations that we could ever receive. And so we receive the invitation because He's given to us in His Word, so we're receiving it. But are we going to accept that invitation? Are we going to take advantage of these invitations that God gives to us through His Word? Well, I know He wants us to take advantage of this one. So let's notice what it says in verse 28. He says, come unto me. There's the invitation. You have been invited. The Lord is the one that makes this invitation. As a matter of fact, this is Jesus speaking during His earthly ministry. If you have a red letter version or copy of the Bible, you would see these words in red. These are words that Jesus is speaking here on earth during His earthly ministry. So this is Jesus Himself. This is the Lord Himself. This is God Himself saying, I want you to come unto me. And notice what He says. Come unto me. I like that three-word invitation there. Come unto me. But notice the group of people that He wants to come to Him. Notice this. All ye that labor. All right? He doesn't just say some. Aren't you glad for that? Every word in the Bible is important, isn't it? And we got the word all. He doesn't say some that labor. He says, I want everyone. I want everyone. I want all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want us to, for just a few minutes, as God gives us time here this morning, I want us to look at this invitation that we find here in Scripture from the Lord here in Matthew chapter number 11. Now, a couple thoughts I want to give you by way of introduction. One of them I've already said. Number one, I wanted you to recognize the fact that this was the first invitation in the New Testament of our Bible. So we've seen several in the Old Testament, but now we've moved to the New Testament of our Bible, and this is the first time you will come to, although we're going to see quite a few in the New Testament, this is the first time you will come to an invitation in the New Testament of our Bible here in Matthew chapter number 11. The second thought I wanted to give you was this. Did you notice, as we were reading through this tonight, two different times this happened. In verse 28 it happened, and in verse number 29 it happened. The second truth I want you to notice this morning is this, that this is an invitation that is followed by a promise. Isn't that wonderful? As a matter of fact, these three words that are up here on our wall that represent the theme for this year, the same could be said about these. You come, that's an invitation, and then you'll see that's a promise, isn't it? Well, God gives us an invitation in Matthew chapter 11, and it's followed by a promise. Let's notice that real quick. Look back at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, there's an invitation, but then at the end of the verse, he says, I'm going to give you a promise. If you will accept that invitation and you will answer the call of the invitation, he says, I'll be able to give you rest. Now, notice he does the same thing in verse 29. Notice in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So that's an invitation that God gives. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Now watch the promise at the end of the verse. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. So he says, the promise in verse 28 is I'm going to give you rest. The promise in verse number 29 is that you'll be able to find rest for your souls. Now, did you notice that not only is this an invitation and a promise, but think the invitation is given to those who are weary, isn't it? It's given to those who are weary. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. So that's who the invitation is extended to, those who are weary. And then the invitation that is given as a result of that promise that he gives you is that you'll be able to find rest. So I'm inviting the weary, and then I'm also giving an invitation to those who need to find rest. Those who are weary and those who need to find rest. And God says, as I invite you, I'll be able to fulfill my promise. So that's the second thought I wanted to give you by way of introduction. The third thought that I wanted you to notice today, as we've read through Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through verse number 30, is that this invitation is an expression of God's love. This invitation is an expression of God's love. Now, by the way, we couldn't just narrow that statement, or we wouldn't just narrow that statement down to just this invitation alone, because every invite that God gives to us is an expression of his love, isn't it? But this one, in a special way, is certainly an expression of his love. He wants to let us know that if you are weary, I love you enough to give you rest. If you're heavy laden, I love you enough to give you rest. It's an expression of his love. And by the way, it's an expression also of his care for his children. He wants to care for his children. Number four, here's the fourth thing that I wanted you to notice by way of introduction this morning. This invitation is extended to both the saved and those who are sinners. So we would say it's an invitation for the saved, and it's an invitation for the lost as well. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he wants to invite you to find rest in him. He wants to invite you to be able to have the peace and the joy that he wants every one of his submissive children to be able to have and to be able to find. By the way, I said the word submissive on purpose because God wants to give joy and he wants to give peace, but the only way that we'll be able to have that true joy and peace is if we are living submissively to the will of God. If we're living in disobedience or we're living in rebellion, no, we won't be able to have the peace and joy that God wants us to have. But he's extending it to the saved person that's submissive, that's living in obedience. He's saying, I want you to find rest. I want you to be able to have joy. I want you to be able to have peace. But he also is extending an invitation to those that are lost. He wants to invite a saved person to be able to find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to have that rest that they'll have in their salvation, knowing for sure that they're going to spend eternity with him. And by the way, that's the only way that we'll be able to have true rest, isn't it? When we find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's extending this to the saved person, and he's extending it to the sinner as well. But then the fifth thing I want you to notice by way of introduction before we get into our thoughts this morning from Matthew chapter 11, I want you to notice that this invitation is not a new one. It's not a new one, meaning that this is not the first time God has invited somebody to come to him. Again, we've seen it throughout the Old Testament of our Bible. We'll see it through other passages in the New Testament. So it's not as if that just because this is the first invitation in the New Testament, this is something we haven't heard before. It's not a new message or a new invitation. As a matter of fact, if you would think back to some of the passages of Scripture we've already studied, you would recognize that this is the same invitation that God has already given, even in the Old Testament of our Bible. Remember what God said to us in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18? He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's already given us an invitation to come to him, hasn't he? We read in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 1 and 2. We studied through that passage several weeks ago on a Sunday morning. And what did we say that the prophet Isaiah said? God wants us to come. If we are thirsty, we are to come to the waters. If we are hungry, he wants us to come to the bread. And what is he saying there? He's saying that I can give you water where you will never thirst again. I can give you spiritual water. So you come to me and you'll have that spiritual water if you're thirsty. If you're hungry, come to me and you'll have that spiritual bread. Remember, he said in John chapter 6 and verse number 35 that he was the bread of life. He that cometh to me, he said, will have everlasting life and will never have to hunger again. Now, again, we understand we will physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, we'll never have to hunger again if we come to him. So did we notice now in the Old Testament of our Bible, he's encouraged us to come if we are thirsty. And he's encouraged us to come if we are hungry. What is the other physical need that we have? We also need rest, don't we? So we need to be filled when we're hungry. We need to have our thirst satisfied or quenched when we're thirsty. But we also need rest, don't we? God says, I want to provide for you if you're thirsty. I want to provide for you if you're hungry. And I want to provide for you if you need rest as well. And that's what we're reading about here in Matthew chapter number 11. He says, come unto me, all ye that labored are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants to give us rest. Now, I want you to notice three thoughts this morning from these verses. And I hope that these three thoughts will encourage you. And this is what I want us to notice about the three thoughts here that we see in Matthew chapter number 11. I want us to actually take a moment to consider how we can break these three thoughts down based on the way God has created us. God has created us as a threefold being. We have a body, and we have a soul, and we have a spirit. We're not made like the animals. Remember, he said in the scripture there in the book of Genesis that he wanted to create us in his own image. And so in the image of God created he man, male and female, the Bible says he created. And so he created us in his image. We are a three-part being. We know of God as being three parts of the person of God as well, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, he's created us as a threefold being as well. We have a body, and again, a soul, and we have a spirit. I want us to use the three points that we're going to notice in this message today to talk about the three parts that God has made us as, a body, a soul, and a spirit. The first one I want us to notice is our body, number one. I want you to notice in this scripture that God gives to us, number one this morning, an invitation for physical rest. Number one, he gives us an invitation for physical rest. See, we're a three-part being, our body. Now, the body is the part of us that enables us to move and to exercise and to have our senses. So we have the ability to smell because of the body that God gives to us. We have the ability to taste and we have the ability to hear. So this is the body that we have. Have you ever had times in your life where you've noticed your physical body has just gotten tired? Anybody in here like that? Your physical body just got to the point where it's a little bit tired and needed some rest. You know, God addresses that here in Matthew chapter number 11. Look at what he says in Matthew 11 and verse number 28. I want you to notice that he gives an invitation for physical rest. Look at what he says now again. Come unto me, and I want us to notice the next few words. All ye that labor. All ye that labor. Here's the rest that God wants to give to us. This particular part of this verse is referring to the rest that God wants to give us from toil, from labor, from work, or from effort that is taking place in our lives. So he wants to give us physical rest. There's times where we're laboring, working, toiling. We're putting great effort into something. And God says, yes, I've made you as a three-part being. You've got a body, and at times your body gets physically tired and you need physical rest. And God says, I'm here to give you physical rest. And so really this is speaking of the fact that we would work, we would labor, we would toil, and we would make effort with things, and we would need rest. Now, the Bible talks throughout Scripture. It has much to say about work. Work is a good thing. Work is not a dirty word. Work is a good word, isn't it? And it's found all throughout the Bible. Let me ask you to consider some things with me. Number one, God created us to work. Physically speaking, God wants us to work. He wants us to be a worker. Let me share some verses with you. Way back in Genesis chapter number 2, Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 4 through 5 in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." We're going way back to creation here. I mean, we're way back to the very beginning of creation in 6 days, literally a literal 24-hour days, God created everything. And the Bible tells us that he had need of a very special creation to take care of things. So look at what it says in verse 5. "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth." Now notice the end of verse number 5. It says this, "And there was not a man to till the ground." So at that point, there was not a man to till the ground. And so God says, "I've got to create man so that man can work to take care of that which I have created." So at the end of Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15, it says, "And the Lord God took the man." Now, who's the man he's talking about here? This is Adam, right? Adam's God's first creation or first created being. And so Adam, as God's creation, the Bible tells us God takes him and he puts him in this garden. The Garden of Eden, which, by the way, was a perfect place. I mean, think about this. The beauty of this place that God has created man to be in. And notice what the Bible says God does for man, the very first thing he does. Look at the very first thing he does for man. Verse 15, "And put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, I'm not making light of this. I promise I'm not making light of it. But God did not say that he put him there to sit down and play a video game or sit down and look at your electronics. That's not what he said. He said he put him there so that he would dress it and he would keep it. God has created every one of us to work. As a matter of fact, I want to draw your attention, and if you'd like to take the time to look there, that'd be certainly fine. If you want to keep your place there in Matthew chapter number 11, it'd be a blessing. But in Proverbs chapter number 6, here's the second thought we want to mention about this physical body that God has created with us with that needs rest from time to time. Not only did God create us to work, but I want you to notice he gives illustrations about work in the Bible. And we're just going to touch on one. But there are illustrations after illustration in the Bible of this principle and this command that God has given us to work. Notice Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6, he says this, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard," the lazy man. He says, I want you to go to the ant. Now, why does he want us to go to the ant? Because he wants us to learn from the ant. What is the ant going to teach us? Notice this illustration here. He said, "Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler," which means the ant doesn't even have to have somebody standing behind him going, come on now, get to work, do what you need to do. The ant doesn't have to have an overseer, doesn't have to have any type of a ruler, but yet still gets work done, doesn't he? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8, "Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." What is God doing for us there? He's giving us an illustration about work. He's saying if you're a sluggard, he said, take the advice of the ant. Get to a place where you're looking at the ant and you're watching the ant. He can give you some illustrations or some principles about how important it is to work. So number one, we said that God's created us all to work. We're talking about this thing of physical rest, this body that God has given to us. Remember, he said, all ye that labor, we're putting in labor, we're putting in work, we're making an effort. There's toil that takes place. So he's created us to work. He gives us illustration. But then the thought that we want to give you, number three, is that he's commanded us to work. See, he didn't just create us to work, but the Bible tells us clearly in Scripture that we are commanded to work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business," and now notice this, "and to work with your own hands." That's a command, isn't it? We're to work with our own hands. The Bible says this, and this might be perhaps the most familiar one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, "We command you that if any would not work, neither should he eat." You can finish it for me, can't you? Because you know what the Bible says. You don't work, the Bible says, neither should a man eat. This was several months ago, but we shared that with our girls at the house. You know, the Bible teaches us that if we don't work, we don't eat. And we had one of them that literally wanted to see it. Come on now. there's no way that's really in the Bible. And we took out the Bible and we were showing them from the Bible. Yes, the Bible teaches if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, the Bible says. It's a command that God gives us to work. And so, yes, work is something he's created us to do. Toil and labor and putting an effort to get things done. Can I say this? Now let's move to the greatest example that we would ever find in Scripture for anything. The greatest example is Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is our greatest example for everything. And Jesus not only is our example, but all throughout Scripture, he identifies with working people. He's not just our example, he identifies with hard-working people. He understood hard hours of labor. As a matter of fact, before his earthly ministry, we know of the job that Jesus had as a carpenter. Think about the hours of labor that would have been put in when Jesus was here on earth as a carpenter. And then he went into his years of earthly ministry where there were times in Scripture where the Bible says he was so tired from labor that he was seeking to just get a place alone where he could rest. But what always ended up happening? The crowds always came, didn't they? And they pressed on him so that even when he was at a point of just physical exhaustion, he couldn't rest because he had such compassion and concern for the multitudes that crowded around him. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, Jesus many times in Scripture even addresses hard workers, doesn't he? He gives us illustrations in Scripture of those that had the job of being a sower. And think of a farmer as he's sowing the seeds, right? If you weren't here this morning in Sunday school, I mentioned this morning that we got off the church bus this morning. And one of our bus riders who is new today, she's the visitor's never been in our church, she walked off the bus, and I guess it didn't take her long to sniff the air. And she said, are you all located near a farm? That was her question for us this morning as she came in. And she just noticed the aroma that's outside here at the church. Jesus used the sower as an example, didn't he? The hard labor and work of a sower. He used the illustration many times of a shepherd, didn't he? What does a shepherd do? A shepherd's not lazy, is he? A shepherd puts in hard, long hours of labor. As a matter of fact, Jesus many times addressed the occupation of a fisherman, didn't he? A fisherman. Think about the task and the work and the labor and the effort, the toil that would go into a fisherman as he takes care of his nets and the hard work that would go into that. As a matter of fact, let's go a step further about Jesus and go this far to say that Jesus even chose to be his 12 disciples, men that were hardworking men. He chose men that labored and they were hard workers. Can I say this? Let's go a step further. Let's not just talk about physical labor. Let's talk about spiritual labor. Throughout the course of Scripture, the Bible tells us that ministry is work as well. If you're involved in any way, shape, or form at this church in ministry, you would know what I mean when I say ministry is work. It is labor. The Bible talks about that. The Bible talks in the book of Ephesians how that God gave some prophets, and he gave apostles, and he gave pastors, and he gave evangelists and teachers. And he goes on to say this. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, and then he says, for the work of the ministry. Knowing that ministry requires work. God says this is a good thing, right? Work is a good thing. He's created us to work. He's commanded us to work. He wants us to work. As a matter of fact, my life verse. You know that in my life verse, many of you are familiar with my life verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 15 and verse number 58. I've always been encouraged by that verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? In the work of the Lord. There's labor when it comes to the work of the Lord. But let's think about something else the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter number 6. The Bible says this, be not weary in well-doing. So what does that mean to us? That means to us this, we can be doing a good thing, and yet we can still get tired, right? Physically speaking, fleshly speaking, we can absolutely get tired. God has made us as a three-part being with that body, and our body requires physical rest. And God is trying to encourage us as we labor physically in the work of the Lord that we're not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What he's trying to say is this: don't be so exhausted in your flesh that it causes you to quit. Yes, we're going to get tired from time to time, and we're going to need rest, but don't make it so that that labor gets you so exhausted that you can't continue on for the Lord, and you find and your heart desires to quit on the Lord. So here's the encouragement. When we're given this invitation for physical rest, here's the encouragement this morning. Jesus, again, remember, he's given an invitation and he's given a promise. Jesus invites us. He's given us an invitation here. He is inviting us. He is offering us strength for our labor. That's really what it boils down to. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor. I'm willing to offer strength for your physical labor. Now, look with me if you would. If you'd be willing to take the time to do this, I want you to notice what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah for just a moment. Isaiah chapter number 40. And look with me if you would, starting in Isaiah 40, and I want you to notice verse number 28. Verse number 28. This speaks to what we're talking about right here. Look, it says, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. It says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. Now, here's what the Bible's trying to tell us, and we're going to keep reading, so don't close it yet. Here's what he's trying to tell us. We get physically weary, but God never does. There's not a time where he ever gets physically weary. As a matter of fact, you may have asked yourself the question before, and I'll ask you today, in labor or in work, are there ever times where you get tired? Are there ever times where you might wonder, how am I going to have the strength to go on? You have the strength to go on because you serve a God who never tires. And notice what he says to us. Look at verse 29. This ought to encourage you. He giveth power to the faint. Have you ever had time where you felt a little faint? God says, I've got strength for you. I've got power for those that are faint. I'm offering strength as you are laboring. Look at what he says. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Have you ever had a time where, again, you just feel like physically speaking, I need more strength? God says, I'm able to give you the strength that you need. You can find strength and you can find rest in Jesus. You can be refreshed by resting in him, he's letting us know. Look at what he says in verse number 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord. Notice he says, I'm here to give you strength. I'm here to give you the rest that you need. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What an encouragement from Isaiah 40 and verse number 31 that God says, I have rest. And I have strength that is available to you today. I remember when I was growing up, my mom used to always use that term. She got her second wind. You ever heard that one? She got her second wind. I thought as a child, what in the world does that mean? You got your second wind. And she'd say, well, I kind of just feel like I got some more energy. And I thought to myself as a child, I always had energy. What in the world would you need a second wind for? I'm still working on the first one and doing just fine, I thought. But she said, man, I got my second wind. I'm ready to go again. I've gotten some more energy. That's what he's saying to us, isn't he? He's saying, you come to me and you'll be able to find rest even in times of labor, even in times of work and toil and great effort. I'm sure that it would be true of someone, perhaps many that are in here today, that physically speaking, you've gotten to the place where you felt like you were about to faint, not literally faint, but just say, I can't go on anymore. But aren't you glad you have a God that you can come to? And he gives you a promise that he is there to give you that strength that you need. So number one, We've got an invitation for physical rest. But number two, in this passage of scripture, we've got an invitation for emotional rest. We've got an invitation for emotional rest. Look at what he says in the next part of the verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor. And now let's look at this. And are heavy laden. Are heavy laden. We've got not only an invitation for physical rest, because we do have to labor and toil and put great effort into things, and he gives us strength, but he's also saying, I want to invite you to have emotional rest as well. Now remember, we're a three-part being, aren't we? We've got a body, and then we've got a soul. You know, that soul reminds us of three different unique ways that God has made us. He has given us a mind, and he has given us a will, and he has given us emotions. So we have the ability to think. We have the ability to choose. That's what we mean when we say a will. He gives us the ability to make a choice, doesn't he? So anybody that chooses to die without Jesus, they have the ability to make that choice, don't they? Anybody who chooses to receive him and say, I want him to be my Savior, they have the ability to make that choice, don't they? Because God's created us with a soul. So we have the ability to think. So we have a thinker, we have a chooser, and we have a feeler. Because the Bible says God's given to us emotions as well. That's all part of our soul, our mind and our will and our emotions. So we understand, according to the Word of God and the way that God has made us as a three-part being, we have emotions. And sometimes our emotions can be bothered and they can be disturbed, can't they? Look at what he says here in the verse. I want to draw out a thought here. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. Again, that's talking about labor and effort and work and toil. But then he goes on to say, and are heavy laden. Now, that's a different thought there. Because when he uses those words heavy laden there, he is speaking of a burden that we might go through or something that causes us to have to live with endurance. He's saying, yes, there are some times in which you will be burdened. And I think you would agree with me this morning that physically speaking, we can become drained through the emotional burdens of worry and fear that come from problems that we can face. We can be emotionally burdened by those things. Worries that problems cause us. Fears that problems cause us. And they rob us from the strength that God wants us to have. God doesn't want you to go through a burden and it cause you to be so emotionally burdened with fear and worry that you can't have the strength that he wants you to have to labor for him. So he says in this verse, come unto me if you are heavy laden. Here's the idea. We can come to him even though we're heavy laden with the cares and the burdens and the worries and the fears of life, and we can find rest in Christ. And there's a reason why we can find rest in Christ, because he is the problem solver, isn't he? He is the problem solver. He's the one that can give us physical rest, but he's the one that can give us emotional rest as well, where we can put aside our worries and we can put aside our fears and we can say, as the songwriter wrote that we sang this morning, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I'll just take my load and care and burden and put it on Jesus, because he is the great problem solver. I can't solve it, but he can. There's no reason for me to worry about it. There's no reason for me to have fear, because I serve a God who can solve all problems. The Bible gives us encouragement. Remember, I told you we're going to address some promises that God gives us. Well, this is the time we're going to do it. Remember, we said standing on the promises of God. What are some promises God gives us? Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The sad reality about that verse is we know what it says, but many times we don't practice it. He says, I want you to cast your care and your worries on me. Now, some that are sitting here today, you might be a natural worrier. You might just say, this is the way I tend to be. But God says he doesn't want us to live that way. He's telling us if we're to cast our worries and our cares on him, then that means that if we are worrying or we're living in worry, then we are sinning. Some have asked the question, well, is worry a sin? Well, God says that he can help us to put aside our worry and help us to have victory over that. So yes, he is labeling that as something that would be sinful in our lives if we're not casting it on him. The Bible says in the book of John in chapter number 14, and I'm going to take the time to look there just real quickly so that I can share this with you. In John 14 and verse number 27, he says this, "Peace I leave with you." Can I talk about peace for just a moment here? Because God wants us to have emotional rest. And that means that he wants to give us peace. Can I talk about it for a moment? He says here in John 14, verse number 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Here's the thought. Yes, the world is going to try to, with their own way, show people how to have peace. But God's word very clearly lets us know there is no peace that you will ever find in the things of the world. You can bank on that. You'll never find peace in the things of the world. So he says, "I'm leaving you my peace, not peace that the world gives." And now notice what he says at the end. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now to me, that sounds like a command. I don't know if you take it that way. I hope you do. Because God's given us a command. "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't let your heart be worried. Don't let your heart be surrounded by all your cares and your concerns and your fears, that you do not give them over to God. He wants to give you this peace that he talks about here in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3, another great verse that you might want to jot down or you might want to remember. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3, the Bible says that Jesus says this through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." What is Isaiah saying there? God's going to give us perfect peace if our mind is on him. And what will happen as a result of our mind being on him is our mind will be trusting in him. See, here's the thing. God wants us to cast all our cares to him. He wants to give us peace. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 that we're to be careful for nothing. That word careful there is the idea of worry. We're to be worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he goes on to say this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Isn't it wonderful that when you pray and you cast all your care on him, he says at that moment, then you can have a peace that passes all understanding. One more reminder as far as by way of a promise with this emotional rest that God wants to give us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9 that Paul got to a place where he realized that God was a God who could give him grace when he needed it. See, why live in worry and fear and have a bunch of emotional burden in your life when God says you can cast your care on me, when God says I want to give you peace, and I want to give you grace that is sufficient for whatever it is that you go through. Remember, Paul learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me," Paul said. He got to a place where he realized that God's grace is enough. See, are you emotionally burdened down today with worries and fears and cares and concern because you haven't cast them on the Lord? Are you emotionally burdened today because you haven't relied upon his peace? You haven't prayed and taken things to him? Or maybe perhaps you haven't realized or gotten to a place in your walk with Christ where you realize that his grace was enough? It was all that you need to get you through whatever it is that you face in life? God wants to give physical rest. God wants to give emotional rest. The last invitation this morning is this. It's an invitation for spiritual rest. It's an invitation for spiritual rest. See, we talked about our body, or excuse me, our humanly speaking, we are a three-part being. We talked about our body, how we need physical rest. We talked about emotional rest that reminds us of our soul that's within us and the emotions that we have within our soul. But then we also are made up as a spirit as well. We've got a body, we've got a soul, and we've got a spirit. What is that part of us that we say is our spirit? How would we define that? Well, our spirit is the part of us that relates to God, the part of us that communicates with God. We would say it this way, it's the part of us that is sensitive towards the things of God. So I've got a spirit inside of me. And the Bible says that God wants to give rest for our spirit as well. He wants to give physical, bodily rest. He wants to give emotional rest, a rest for our soul. But he wants to give rest for our spirit today as well. And we'll close with this. Look at what he says back in Matthew chapter number 11. And I want you to notice, if you would, now verse 28 and 29 again. I know we already read it, but verse 28 and 29, let's draw this thought out as we close. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And now notice what he says, "And I will give you rest." Oh, he says, I want to give spiritual rest to you. Notice what he says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." He wants to give us, as the Bible says, he wants to give us spiritual rest. Now, this is the promise that God gives to us if we are willing to accept the invitation. See, if I accept the invitation, when God says, "Come unto me if you're laboring and you're heavy laden," he says, "I'll give you rest." If I accept that invitation, then God says, "I have this promise awaiting you." But I can promise you today that you will never experience true rest for your soul until you are resting in him. You've got to be, if you want true rest for your soul, spiritually speaking now, you've got to be resting in him. Humanly speaking, there are ways that we can try to find rest for our souls, but humanly speaking, they will never work. You know, there's a lot of folks in our world today that are trying to find spiritual rest by just the things that they do for God. There might be people that are trying to find spiritual rest by religious rituals that they are a part of. Or maybe they've gotten to a place where they're saying, "I'm just trying to, in my life, pursue perfection. And if I can get to that place in my life, I'll be able to find this spiritual rest." But the problem is, if we try those avenues, then we've put the responsibility on ourselves, haven't we? See, it's about me trying to make an effort on my part to bring myself rest. And that always ends in unrest, doesn't it? But see, if I put the responsibility on God, I'm no longer trying to make the effort myself, but I put the responsibility on God, I will find that God is able to give me spiritual rest that only he can give. Would you look at the verses that we read one more time, and I want to be able to emphasize these personal pronouns that God uses in these verses to refer to him as the only one who can give us this rest. Look at what he says. Come unto, what's the word? Me. Come unto me. He didn't say rely on yourself, did he? He said, come unto me. And then he says, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say you can give yourself rest. He said, I'll give you rest. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Look at verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Aren't you thankful that all of this does not rest on you? It rests on him. Back to what the songwriter wrote that we sang this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Not to trust in myself. Not to trust in somebody else. But just to put the burdens. That, by the way, that's why we have a special place called an altar. So we can put our burdens at this place and leave them there. Leave the cares and the concerns and the burdens with the Lord. Casting all our care upon him. And just rest in him. Not what you can accomplish, but what he is able to do. Now notice one thought before we close here tonight. He makes this statement in verse 28. The first three words, what a challenge they are to us. Come unto me. We'll close it out this morning by saying this. Did you notice in that passage of scripture, he didn't tell us come to the church. Coming to church is a good thing, but that's not how we're going to find rest if we're not relying upon God. He didn't say just come to the church and you'll be okay. He didn't just say, just come to the baptistry and get baptized and you'll be okay, or just join the local church and you'll be okay. He didn't say, come to some type of a reformation in your life where you're trying to reform your life and make your life greater or better in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't tell us to do that. He said, come unto me. See, when you come to him, that's when you'll find that spiritual rest. It comes not by my own works or not by my own rituals. But it comes by putting faith in the one who can give me this spiritual rest. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So come, there's two different groups of people today that this invitation is open for. Remember we said them, it's open for the saved and it's open for the lost. So if you're not saved today, and God is speaking to your heart about your salvation, you need to come to him for salvation so you can find spiritual rest. But then those that are saved, and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's referring to us. He's saying, you might be laboring, and you might be heavy laden. But he said, if you come to me, you can find rest. And here's the idea. Remember in verse number 30, it says we're to take his yoke upon us. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. So the idea for a Christian here today, for those that are saved, learn to get to a place where you come to him and you yoke up with him. You yoke up with him. He's the one that you're relying on for this spiritual rest. You've yoked up with him. And here's what you'll find. You'll find that he'll give you that rest that you need, and you'll find enjoyment in serving him. It won't be burdensome. It won't be something that's difficult. It will be enjoyment. It'll be an enjoyment as you serve the Lord, because you have made the decision to accept his invitation and you have come to him as he's asked you to. May we make application this morning of what we've learned as he gives us an invitation for physical rest of our body. He gives us an invitation for emotional rest, which speaks to our soul. And he gives an invitation for spiritual rest, which speaks of the spirit that we're created with. May we find rest in Christ. Father, thank you for the message today and the opportunity we've had to hear the word of God.